whole issue of being Black, number one, in America versus being Black in the Caribbean. And I'll start off to explain what I mean by that. A lot of the commentary that I've been hearing on social media is that, you know, as somebody from the Caribbean, I happen to be from Jamaica, that what's currently happening with George Floyd, as well as many of the other people and the racial tension that we currently have in America, is not necessarily our fight. That's a lot of the commentary, whether it be from people from the Caribbean or people from America. And it kind of baffles me as to why that would even be said, because we're all Black. And if you trace your history and if you're educated on the topic, obviously we're all mostly from the same part in Africa, if you trace it back. You know, people who happen to end up in America were some of the same tribes of people who happen to end up in the Caribbean. And it's our fight. I don't think it's just one person's fight, one set of people's fight. I think it's a racial issue, and I think it's everybody's fight. Everybody's plight. You know, I mentioned earlier to my co-host when we were talking that, you know, at the end of the day, when if we were to be in a situation where a cop who happens to be racist pulls us over, they're not going to ask you, are you from the Caribbean or are you from Mississippi, are you from wherever. You're, in their eyes, you're Black. So to my point, it's everybody's issue. So my thought is, what do you guys think about that as well?
I agree. I'm very disappointed with some of the comments. I think that's the problem. We all think it's everybody else's issues and not ours. Mm-hmm. We're Black people, and I feel like as a basis of humanity, it should be everybody's issue. And especially people from the Caribbean, I think that I'm most disappointed because of the fact that we as Caribbean people, we understand what it means to be oppressed. And based on our history, it's based on a lot of oppression and being treated unfairly. You know, if you go back to slavery, it's very evident that we are also people that were oppressed for a long time. So we should, as a basis, understand that and try to come up with solutions to fight it. It's our fight. It's everybody's fight. Right. And I don't understand when Caribbean people say that. It's just very disappointing. And I don't agree with it. And I believe that we need to really educate ourselves to find out, like, why is it everybody's fight?
Right.
That's what I think.
And I agree, too, because one thing, I guess, even in Jamaican history, Marcus Garvey, right? And even with a Trinidadian Kwame Ture, I forgot his name, that they were a part of that fight for, you know what I'm saying, for American freedom, for the struggle of Americans. So with us saying that we're not a part of it, it's like we're forgetting our past and our history. So I don't know who's saying that, but that to me, like you said, Renee, that's ignorance. Because how do you not know that your national Marcus Garvey fought for all this stuff? You know what I'm saying? All these different people fought for it. And now you're saying you're not a part of it? But we're living here in America? How can you live in America and say you're not a part of Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, and some of the comments, I was watching Spice's Instagram, and a lot of the comments, she was out there protesting in Atlanta, and people were on her page asking her, what is she doing? She doesn't need to be there. It's not her fight. And she spoke up about that. And it was like disappointing. And these people, you look at them, they're Black people.
Right.
And I was like, the fight, that's the problem. That's always the problem when you think that it's not your fight. And then you sit back and you do nothing about it. And no form of change.
Right.
Nothing. But nothing.
Renee said that if you get pulled over, are they going to know that you're Jamaican? Are they going to know you from any Caribbean country?
Right. It's everybody's fight. And I think, you know, I just think one area that we need to start to really examine is the fact that we need to be unified as Black people in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the issue and part of the reason why that's even a commentary out there, because I don't feel that we are as unified as we need to be.
Right.
And may not be as educated. I think I've noticed myself, I would suggest that people go out and educate themselves. Mm-hmm. And I've taken it upon myself to do just that, because I want to learn more about the history of this country. Obviously, as I mentioned, I'm from Jamaica. I do know the history of this country, but there are a lot of things that I didn't know. So I took an opportunity to now research and do my homework, because I cannot be a part of the group of being ignorant. I refuse to be that person. So at the end of the day, you need to educate yourself. And another part of that as well is, as I mentioned earlier in our discussion, is one of the issue is we do not see ourselves as unified. Just like I've heard multiple times told to me, when I tell people that I am Jamaican, they say, oh, you're not black. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. And it's typically from a black American. I've heard that multiple times told to me that you are, oh, you're Jamaican, so you're not black. I don't know what that means. And if you're educated enough, you know that I'm black.
Right.
Everything about me looks black. My features are black. And I do happen to come from Nigeria, because I did trace my heritage. So I am black. So again, it's a mixture of being ignorant and a mixture of just educating yourself more about the topic, so you don't offend people.
Right.
I just was thinking of that. I didn't know what that meant, so I was like, let me not say. So that's all I needed to say about that.
Mm-hmm. Like you said,
what do you guys think about the statement, all life matters? What does that mean to you? How do you feel when you hear that? When people say, well, all lives matter, when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement, what all life matters? How do you feel about that?
I think the education of people, they're not understanding that. They feel like we're taking away from them at the moment, and they're not seeing what's happening in the black community. It's not that we're saying that you as a white person or you as somebody else, it doesn't matter. It's right now, look what's happening in America. Look what's been happening forever. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And it is with police brutality, is in how we live, is in our medical. There's so much stuff with this, the COVID that came before. We saw how many black people. When they're saying Black Lives Matter, I mean, all lives matter, they're not seeing the big picture, or they don't understand the big picture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and another part of that, too, I feel like it's very dismissive. And
absolutely.
It's oftentimes by people who don't want to face what's presented in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of facing the hard truth, because racism is a difficult topic and it's very uncomfortable for a lot of people, and I understand that. However, for you to, in my eyes, be dismissive by saying all lives matter, you're saying if all lives matter, then you shouldn't take that stance to separate yourself to say your life matter.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that, again, this doesn't take away from you as a people. But what it does is, being disenfranchised as a black person,
right.
we have to then highlight that in our community and say, listen, because of the injustices we face, our lives do matter.
Yes.
And that's what it means at the end of the day. It's not taken away from any other race, any other group. It's just highlighting the injustices that
right.
have occurred for us.
Yeah, and I want to talk about, you know, what's different in this protest? I mean, you know, we have talked about, we have seen what happened with Trayvon Martin. We have seen what happened with other groups of black people who were killed by the hands of police or other white people who believe that they should not be here. But somehow, at this point, I feel like, for me, seeing the images of George Floyd's death really evoked something in me this time around that is different from any other time. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the images from the TV. Something is different this time around. It is like, I feel like a lot more people have been called to action. And I feel like for me, I definitely take some more time out to read some more about this. I mean, it's just a different feel in the atmosphere. What do you guys think about that?
Well, for me, it's the straw that kind of broke the camel's back at the end of the day. I think that it's not to necessarily highlight this occurrence as being any different than any other occurrences, because it's been happening for years, right? The brutality of the police force against Black people and in general. But I just believe that this, and I think it's the manner in also in which George Floyd was killed,
right,
was murdered. And I'm very deliberate when I said murdered. I think that kind of changed the framework of how we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just a straw that broke the camel's back. And I think that as a people, as Black people, we're just fed up. It's a point in history where we want to make our voices heard.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that we call people out on the table, that people need to step up. I think it's a time where we're going to demonstrate that our lives matter. Again, that keeps coming up. Our lives do matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those times where it's our time, and we basically use the opportunity to make it known that we're going to say something about it. We're going to do something about it. We're going to protest. And we expect change this time.
Yeah. Can y'all see me? I'm sorry. And honestly, I think too, because again, bringing up COVID, everybody's been sitting at home, people losing their jobs, people are dying, and we can't go see it. With the COVID, how many people died and they weren't able to go see their family members? So like you said, this came right on that time that it just broke that camel's back. It's just too much going on right now. So people are reacting. And like I said, now they're going on for what? This is the 12th day. So it's just, they're tired. We're tired.
Yeah. People are tired. It's different. It's a different feel. And you see a lot of celebrities are stepping up. But I feel like not only celebrities, but what can we do in our own lives and our own communities? We have our own platforms as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we have our own platforms in our homes. We don't have to depend on celebrities to get a message across.
Right.
And but I do think that's different. And I feel a call to action to be more intentional in what I do when it comes to racism or racial injustice. So I don't know.
Okay.
I just think it's a different time. I think the protests and the looting and the riots, although I do not condone the violence behind the protest, because oftentimes it takes away from the message. But I think, again, with people being fed up and the frustration, this is what happens, right? You can only poke out your head so much before the fear reacts. So, but I do believe that the protests that have occurred brought attention to the matter,
mm-hmm,
this time around. And again, it's a culmination of a lot of things that kind of change everything. You know, to Heather's point, the COVID happening, as well as the manner in which George Floyd died. Also, the fact that, Arbery just died, Ahmaud Arbery just died,
right,
as well. It's just a culmination of a lot of things that we're like, yes, it's now time for us to step up. It's now time for a change. Now time for everybody to take notes, and we refuse to not be heard. And
right,
I think that's the difference. We refuse to not be heard this time around.
So
I hear people talk about the protests and the looting, and I mean, I understand, as you said, there's a place for everything, but I think historically, nothing, changes have occurred without this form of protest, without burning, without looting.
Mm.
It's just what it is. It's what works. It's what gets people's attention. It's just what it is. It just comes with the territory. And I think, yes, it has to come to this. It has to come to the burning and the looting for people to really pay attention. And you see it. You see people coming out. As you mentioned, we were talking earlier, Renee, about the NFL guy who came out and, you know, said that, you know, he was wrong in the way he treated the whole Kaepernick situation.
So how do you... Go ahead.
I just like the fact that the attention is being, these people have actually been called out, and the attention is being placed because of the whole rioting and the protesting.
So why do y'all think that when Colin Kaepernick did it peacefully, that people didn't even pay attention? This man hasn't had a job since 2016, since he took a knee peacefully, right? Why do you think now this, was he a commissioner that came out to say now that, you know, he's sorry and he's saying how he needs to treat black players now? Why do you think, what's the difference?
Because I think it occurred on a different circumstance, right? It was very peaceful. I don't believe that there was a big circle of support necessarily around him. There, he did get support,
yes.
But I don't believe there was as big of a support as we see today with the protests,
right?
With the death of George Floyd. So I think it was a peaceful protest. And it didn't get enough attention, and
right.
people weren't calling people out on the table as much as they are doing
mm-hmm.
now. And I think with that, and at the end of the day, to Keisha's point, oftentimes casualty may happen or must happen in order for people to think so. Unfortunately, and I don't condone violence, but at the end of the day, sometimes this is what it takes. In any civil war, in any wars all over the world, in any protest, casualties happen.
Yes.
Destruction of yes. happen. It is what it is, unfortunately. But it comes with poke in the beer.
Yeah. So yeah, how do we
only way to get attention.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I said it's just what it is. It's the only way to get attention.
Yeah.
I mean,
First and foremost, I don't think we need to educate anybody.
Okay.
I think the responsibility
mm-hmm.
lies with them to educate themselves. Just like we educate ourselves about American history, what happens to be white history,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important for them to educate themselves. And I think for those allies that we do have white allies out there. We do have people who get it, right? But they get it because they're interested to get it, right? They whether or not they do the education, whether or not they educate themselves, they research, they look up whatever they need to research, they are educated because they want to be educated. And they are part of the fight, quote unquote, the fight, because they want to be. So it's not up to us to educate anybody. I think we've done enough as black people living in a white America. I think white America needs to now educate themselves on black culture and exist in our space.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we need to be educating them. I mean, yeah, educate themselves. And, you know, I just want to say that I do have white friends who understand the plight of black people.
Mm-hmm.
And the way how they understand it is because they read about it. First of all, you're living in America. Like, you see, it's on the television, it's all around you, the racial injustice. Mm-hmm. Racism exists.
Right.
We're not living under a rock here.
Mm-hmm.
So they know. So my thing is, like, as a non-black person, you're seeing all of this around you. Does it say anything to you? I mean, get educated. Go read up on it. Start talking about it. Tweet about it.
And I think that's the question I was asking. What can we tell? Because a lot of people is like, they don't know what to do or what to say. Are they supposed to be posting stuff on Facebook or marching with everybody else? Or what exactly do they do? Because those were questions that were asked. You know,
all of the above. All of the above. The most important thing is not to stay silent.
Right.
So, you tweet, you stand up for your black friends. You go out there on the lines and you march. You write to your representatives. Do whatever it takes. Because as you said, this is a fight for everybody.
For everybody.
We cannot do it without our white friends
right.
or Italian friends, whatever. We need everybody in this fight. So do whatever you can. Go read. Go talk to representatives.
Right. Right.
Do whatever you can. Just don't be silent.
And that's exactly what I said. You can't be silent.
Also, you know, a public figure recently said,
mm-hmm.
today me, tomorrow you,
mm-hmm.
which means that at the end of the day,
yeah,
it may be me today, meaning that it may be a black issue today, but it may come a time where you may need us.
Right.
And it's your butt on the line, and you're going to need that help and that support.
Yes.
Everybody's issue at the end of the day.
Right.
And my main thing for the white counterparts who really want to get to understand what's going on and really care about what's going on is really the first thing is just educating.
Right.
Educating yourself on the culture, educating yourself yes. on why it is that we respond the way we do.
Right.
Educating yes. ourselves on all aspects of our culture. And ask. If you really care, ask questions.
Exactly.
If you ask questions and it's coming from a place of love, we'll be honest to respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So ask.
Right.
If you have black friends, ask at the end of the day.
Right.
And also, my thing is, like, I always wonder, because at the basic humanity level, we're all humans, and whether, regardless of the color of our skin, at the basis of humanity, like, we should be caring about each other.
Right.
I mean, you know, we shouldn't sit back and watch things happen to people, whether it's not non-black people, just the basis of humanity. If you're a human and you care about human beings,
mm-hmm.
then you should be called to some form of action.
Right.
And as I said, it doesn't have to be any big, elaborate stuff that you have to do. You can, in your own space, you can do something. You can write about it. You can talk about it. You can tweet about it.
Speaking.
You know, as you said, Renee, white people can talk to their black friends, ask questions,
yeah.
come from a place of really interest and love, and wanting to know what's happening.
Right. Like I said, don't be scared to talk.
Yeah.
Because if you have no issues with it, don't be scared to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's interesting, right? Because we're talking about this, and oftentimes everything and how information flows down comes from leadership, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what are you guys' thoughts on how the president is handling specifically the George Floyd situation?
It's very disappointing.
Yes, there's
nothing that I've seen from him that came from a genuine. Well, first of all, I don't know. You could correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen him address the situation in a way that a leader of our country should. He hasn't really speak about George Floyd. Everything that he has said has been, he kind of tiptoed around the situation. Nothing direct to George Floyd's family. Nothing direct about the situation. All he does is blame. He talks about the protesters. That's all his main concern about bringing martial law to tame the protesters. Nothing from him has been anything to me constructed. I don't think he even understands the whole Black Lives Matter movement. He doesn't even talk about that either.
No.
He doesn't address anything. It's like black people is non-existent to him.
All
he sees us doing is creating more problems.
Yeah, he's creating a separation. He's creating the separation between black and white, and he's sitting back. To me, I feel like he feels this is a game to him, because he's still on there tweeting. He's still on there. I guess when they had the memorial for George Floyd, he's talking about George Floyd is looking down on us now. It's like he's joking stuff. Like, you said you're going to have the military to come to take innocent people out. The military is not for that. So he's creating separation. He's creating this chaos because it's like he wants to see it continue to happen. And it starts with leadership, like Renee said.
And which president tweets when the looting starts, the shooting starts?
Right.
Like, you're creating when you said that. You're giving people permission to do whatever they want to people. That's not their place.
Right.
You cannot say that because your words are powerful and people are watching him. His supporters are just waiting to hear him say something to give them the go-ahead to start the foolishness.
He's giving them that voice for them to continue doing what they're doing. Yeah.
He has yet to come out to show any empathy,
right.
For what's going on, especially for George Floyd's family,
mm-hmm.
and all the others too, right? We're mentioning George Floyd not to exclude the others, but
right.
because it's the most recent event that kind of causes to really uproar, right?
Yeah,
let's put that out there. But he has not yet, to my knowledge, show any empathy to the family members. His only mention was regarding, as far as I know, George Floyd would be, you know, looking down from heaven and be happy about what's going on. I don't know what he means by that. He has he has yet to operate as a leader of the free world. He is yet to conduct himself as somebody who can show empathy for a cause, for something that's been such an issue in our country as racial tension or racial injustice. So for me, I'm very disappointed.
Right.
And my expectations moving forward is and has not been very high of the president. So I'm not necessarily looking for the president to move up any further than his level of thought process at this point.
Right.
But I just wanted to at least bring that forward because I think that, again, moving a country and the essence from which a country operates comes from leadership. And if there's no leadership, then the country is immobile. So in this regard, I'm really disappointed about what the president said.
I'm disappointed, but I didn't expect anything different. This man has been running this country. It's a reality show to him. It's a reality show. He does this because he knows we're going to be talking all day about him. Look what happens. Every couple of days, he's going to tweet something stupid. So it's nothing.
And then we end up talking
about him. And we end up talking about him for the next 2 weeks.
So another thing I would like to talk about, which is interesting, right? They talked about the defunding and the defunding of the police department. What are your thoughts on defunding the police department? Because I guess the perspective is if you don't give the police department as much support, then they would potentially not have as much ammunition to come against the Black community as much as they should, as part of the actual narrative. There's more to it, but that kind of what are you guys
to me, that doesn't make sense. I'm not saying to defund them. I think the police department needs education. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's to put more money into education and training them a little bit better, but defunding them, I mean, things are still going to happen. You know what I'm saying? There's still crime that's going to happen. So we need the cops, but you need to train them better. Where's the education? Where's the equal opportunity people that's supposed to be in the police department? Where are these people and how are these police being trained? You know, so I don't agree with that.
I don't understand it, though. Maybe I'm not understanding the whole funding process, how the police department is funded. But first of all, we need police officers because at the end of the day, we need somebody to keep some form of order in our society.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's the problem. Defunding, that's not the problem. My thing is the problem is are some of the racist cops. They need to be held accountable on an individual basis because we're obviously not all cops bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they should focus on the ones who are creating these injustices towards Black people who are perpetuating racism. I think that's the problem, not to defund a whole police department. We need police officers.
Right.
I mean,
because the guy that killed Floyd, right? Didn't he already have some issues with race? Didn't he have like 2 or 3 arrests or something before this happened? Dealing with race?
So him, that guy, that police officer as well, there's a situation here in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know if you've seen it on the news, the police officer who pushed the Black girl down to the floor and struck her face.
And she broke her collarbone?
I believe so. He had 20 complaints against him in the department. 20. I don't know. One of them, I believe they said he was disciplined for, but you have 20 complaints against a police officer.
And he's still out there.
And now he did what he did. That to me is a problem. Who's
holding him accountable?
He never held accountable for it. I don't know, but that's the problem. They need more training. They need how to. They need to be trained on how to handle situations.
Right.
And they need to be trained how not to be racist. Bottom line, I think that's what that needs to be done.
Yeah.
The racists shouldn't be in the police department.
I think we need the police. Number one. And not all policemen are racist.
No.
Definitely not saying that. There are policemen out there that, are upsetting citizens and actually do what they're supposed to do. But I do believe that they definitely need more training.
Yes.
They definitely need to not exist in an environment that teaches them hate or racism. Because I do believe that at some aspect, at some level, somebody's teaching them that, right? It's not just coming from, it's not coming from out of nowhere, right?
This is embedded in them.
That needs to be an issue. That needs to be accounted for as well. And policemen and the police department need to be held more accountable for what they're doing.
Right, right.
And I believe that if you are held more accountable, certain things are not going to happen.
Right.
And when they do happen, I expect you to be held to the same level of law as the rest of the people.
Exactly.
But if you kill me, and if you kill my brothers and sisters, then you should be held up for charges of murder. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be a pat on the hand. It shouldn't be, oh, you just got fired from your job.
Mm-hmm.
You took somebody's life, and you took somebody's life not out of self-defense, because you presumably thought you had the power to do it.
Right.
So I think that level of accountability needs to occur, where you should actually be put up for charges and tried in the court like a regular citizen at the end of the day. And definitely more training. He's found.
Right.
And also, I think there's a message that's been lost. I think a lot of people were like, you know, Black people now want special treatment because, you know, because what happens is that every time something happens with a Black person, they always bring up their background. They always bring up, well, they stole something, or they were trying to counterfeit something or whatever. It's always their background that's being brought up. But I think we're not saying the message is that we're not saying that you're not supposed to, if you do something wrong as a Black person, not to be held accountable for. We're saying that we want to be treated with the same standards like you treat the white criminals. I mean, or the white person. We're not expecting to be treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
You're expected to be treated the same. And I'm tired of hearing, the difference in how criminals are treated when they're white. Like the guy who they gave McDonald's after he shot 10 people in a church. They fed him McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, this was little things like that. We're asking to be treated the same way you would treat a non-Black person.
You're right.
You're asking for the same treatment, bottom line.
Yeah.
To be treated in a fair manner under the law like everybody else. And not to be killed in front of you for supposedly counterfeiting $20.
Right.
Not to be killed in a park because a kid is holding a gun.
Yeah.
Toy gun. I'm just saying, just to be treated fairly. That's what we're asking for.
Because you saw the difference between the one that I think I told y'all about earlier with the guy that killed two people, the white guy that killed two people. And you saw the police giving him water with his hand behind his back, sitting down calm. The police is feeding him water. But the guy with $20, your knee is on his neck.
Yes.
And it's not just one cop. How many cops were on him? And this guy who killed two people, a white guy, just sitting there leaning back and you're feeding him water. So can you not see the difference?
And also, we spoke about this earlier too, about the whole fraternity of police officers.
Right.
They have this fraternity in which they speak up for each other, even when they're wrong.
Right.
So those people need to be held accountable. You don't sit back and watch something happening to somebody and don't do anything because you're a police officer and you have this code of honor that you share. No, what about human life, humanity? What about being an upstanding citizen,
right,
have some moral standards about you, some integrity. How about that?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, start holding these people as long. I'm telling you, the moment that they start holding these police officers accountable and the treatment is as harsh as they would treat a Black person in the justice system, then you will see them.
Yeah, the sad thing too is that because of instances like this and because of other just random instances with Black people encountering with the cops, we have learned to instead of running to justice, we run away.
We run away from it. Yes.
And whenever we're around cops, we are fearful. I find myself fearful. And I'm like, I'm certainly not don't have anything to be fearful about, right? But I find myself, even if they're black, I find myself having just a slight fear when I'm around cops.
Right.
And that's kind of the culture that they've cultivated in this country, where you cannot run to them for support, right? It's almost as if you're running away from them because you are fearful of them.
Or what's going to happen.
They're supposed to be the ones protecting you.
Yeah.
So that all has to change as well. And it's mind-boggling to me oftentimes when our white counterparts don't understand that part of it, because they, I think a lot of times, many white people take that for granted, right? They can, you know, they're supposed to be protected by the cops. They run to the cops. We can't do that.
We can't do that.
Because oftentimes, we don't know what we'll be met with.
That's the Amy Cooper, right? The Amy Cooper who said, oh my God, I'm going to tell this a black man. What? An African American. So it's, people know their privilege.
Right. You're talking about the lady in...
Amy Cooper, the one that was in the park with her dog. And she said, oh my God, I'm going to call. They know their privilege. So when they're saying they don't, some people, when they say they don't know their privilege, look at that.
Exactly. And that is...
And let's talk about that. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about white privilege and what does that mean? And I want us to be able to speak from love, but educate the audience as to what we deem as white privilege. So let's talk about that.
Amy Cooper was the biggest thing that I saw with was being recorded, because you don't get a lot of things on record. But for her, the man didn't touch her. All he had was a camera recording her, and she started acting. I'm going to tell them it's an African-American man. Why can't you say, I'm just going to tell them somebody's in a park bothering me? But you had to put, I'm going to tell them it's an African-American man. So you knew a white woman calls and say, oh, my God, a black man is raping me, or a black man is doing this. What's going to happen? They're going to believe her, you know? And I mean, the dramatics that she did, a lot of people know that you just say a black person did anything automatically. We're going down.
It's interesting because I saw something on Instagram that really solidified what white privilege is. It was a couple, a black man and a white woman, and they were putting up their hands, and it said, they were both, and there's a recording says, put up your hands if you've ever been stopped by the police. Black man put up his hand. Put up your hand if you've ever been called out of your name, the N-word. He puts up his hand. Put up your hand if you've ever been discriminated in the workplace. He put up his hand. Put your hands up. And there was a list of things that the black guy put his hand up. And the list ends, and the white woman did not put up her hand for anything, because nothing in that list applied to her.
Right.
That is white privilege. White privilege is the color, is white people, the color of their skin gives them the right to do or feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that to me was a good example of what white privilege is. You have never had anything bad happen to you. You haven't been discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
That's white privilege.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you exist in this world as a white person. You exist in this world with almost like a protective veil around you, right? You don't have to think about necessarily where you're going to go to school. Like a lot of people, you know, you don't have to be concerned that, oh, there's company is hiring you because they're doing a quota.
Exactly.
You don't have to be concerned about walking down the street at a certain time in the night for example, as I said before in our earlier discussion, that has not been recorded. You know, walking down the street when I was married with my husband, and, you know, somebody who happens to be white locking the door because they see he was black. You don't have to exist in a world that responds and reacts to you like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You exist in this world boldly. And I said recently to myself, what I notice is black people covert in it's very subtle, right? Because we don't even understand and we don't really think about it. Black people exist in a world where we ask for permission.
Permission. Mm.
while white people in this world, knowing that they have the permission to.
Yeah.
I personally think that that is my privilege at the end of the day. The bottom line of you assuming, you making the assumption to say, yes, I have this versus black people asking for it. And we live our lives that way in every aspect of our lives. If you think about it, and I do it too without even knowing, I oftentimes ask for permission in a lot of parts of my life because I don't know if it's right. But white people exist in this world and just exist and do it because they know either they can do it or they can do it and get away with it.
And get away with it, right.
And that is how I see white privilege and how I can, this is my best way of describing it.
Hey, you know what? Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now, one thing, and what you just said with Ahmaud Arbery, those guys that killed him, right? Weren't they running free for 2 months before the video came to light? They weren't arrested or anything. So to me, that is white privilege. If that recording didn't come out and show what happened, they would have still probably been home doing whatever they wanted to do. But let it have been a black man, he probably would have been shot somewhere. Or what would, he would have been arrested right away.
Absolutely.
So that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Once you said that stood out to me a lot. Because 2 months later.
You know what's crazy to me? I'm tired of also, one of the narratives that I'm tired of hearing is from white people too, that we always, black people always make it about race.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? Are you living in America? Are you seeing what's around you? And because of your white privilege, you can say that. Because you're very oblivious to what has been going on
right.
to black people right. in this world. Mm-hmm. It is about race. A lot of it is about race. The fact is that we are discriminated
right.
but based on the color of our skin. It is what it is. And, you know, we have
right.
opportunities in the workplace because they don't think that we're good enough to be in certain positions.
Mm-hmm.
We are looked upon as less than.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what it is. It's not about race. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's proven.
It is what it is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, a recent statistic said that, I believe black women are among the most educated in this, in America.
Yes.
Right? Black women are the most educated in America. But yet, as you mentioned in the workplace, we have to work twice as hard, if not harder, right? We can never just assume that because of our education, because we do our work well, that's going to be, the reward is going to then come to us because of that. We have to think about so many other factors,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we have to deal with white men, we have to deal with white women, we have to deal with black men,
mm-hmm.
right? Because again, they're at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's a lot of things that when we talk about white privilege and you mentioned that white people oftentimes say we make it about race. We never make it about race.
It makes it about us.
Exactly.
The race is because of our experiences.
Right.
So happens that we have to talk about it and it is what it is. But we never make it about race. Society makes it about race. Right? So it's just it is what it is, and they fortunately don't have to think about it because they do not live in an environment where they have to conduct themselves based on the color of their skin.
Right.
They exist in an environment that welcomes them, that is made for them.
Yeah.
They don't have to carve their way in their society. It's just it's brought out on a platter for them. So we don't make it about race. Mm-hmm. Society makes it about race.
Have y'all ever gone through any experience having racism against y'all or seen it firsthand?
Yeah. I mean, I think me and my ex-husband, we've been racially profiled before. Black people, they don't think that black people should drive a Mercedes-Benz. And at the time, we were driving a Mercedes-Benz, and there was a cop beside us at the light. And we saw him. It's a cop. It's okay. So we're driving, and that same cop started to follow us. He followed us into a park. And it was obvious that he was following us because he was beside us first, and then he kind of looked over and saw us, and two black people in a Mercedes-Benz. It's a crime, I suppose. And he followed us to the, it was my first experience of racial profiling.
Right.
And he didn't come out of his car, but what he did was, he was sitting in there, and I think he may have been running out the license plate or something. And obviously he came back clean. So there wasn't really a reason for him to get out of his car. But had it been something, maybe a ticket or something, right. I'm sure we would see him outside his car. So yes, it has happened. And right. It was a very uncomfortable feeling because you always hear about it, but until it happens to you, then you don't really feel the impact of it so much. But yeah, it was real. It was real.
Yeah. Renee, you?
Yeah. And I walk down the street in modern day today in where I'm from, in Connecticut. And I walked down the street and had somebody shout out their window while they're driving, because they're always doing it in passing, right? Oftentimes never face to face.
Yes.
Yeah, shout out the window, nigger. So that happened to me.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And as I mentioned to you, you know, my ex-husband is very dark, and multiple times walking by cars, and it happened to be a female white person, they automatically lock their door, or I see them clutch on, even when I'm with them, they grab onto their pocketbook tighter, as if they're expecting to be robbed.
Yeah.
So it happens, and it's subtle. But as a black person, you recognize it,
of course.
Right? You recognize the subtleties, the clenching of the handbook, or, you know, the handbag, or, you know, when you're in the elevator, you know, they look nervous, or, you know, again, the whole locking of your car. And the blatant one was then just shouting out, nigger.
Damn.
It happened. So, yeah.
And that happens.
It is real. You know, and again, I didn't make that up, right? Back to your what you said about white people saying we always make it about real.
Right.
See, I didn't do anything, right? It was done to me.
Right.
So society makes it about race, and society makes it about me. So just educate yourself that we don't just go around flagging the race card.
Right.
It's a part of our everyday existence. That's why.
Right. And that happened to me when I was living in Virginia. When my ex-husband and I had some step kids, right? So they went in the mall. I just dropped them off to the mall. They were just going to go have fun. 15 minutes later, all I was doing was driving out. They called me. 15 to 20 minutes later, they called me. It's like, hey, they kicked us out of the mall. Why did you get kicked out of the mall? Again, they made it into color. Some white boys were teasing a handicapped person. But guess who got kicked? Because they laughed about it. Which it was wrong, right? But because they laughed about it, they kicked them out of the mall and told them, call your mom to come get you. And I was like, why did that happen? So I had to look at the recording to see, did this really happen? And you see it blatantly. The white boys were teasing this handicapped boys, and because these black boys were walking past and they laughed, they told them, you get out. And the white boys were up in the mall, still waiting, I guess, whatever they were doing. But my boys had to leave the mall. So that was the first time really blatantly that I saw how different people were treated. And thank God a black cop came, because I was heated. I was heated, and I was like, why is this happening? And there was a black security guard just standing there. Nothing was happening. The white guy was coming at me. They had to leave. And the black guy had to come and talk to my boys and say, you know what? This is what happens. This is racism. You have to do better, even though you laughed about it. So he had to educate these black boys on, this is what happened in Virginia Beach. You know, and it's sad that our boys have to be taught that now you got to be different. You can't laugh. You can't be yourself, because look what's going to happen.
Right.
As a black person in your lifetime, you're going to experience something like that. Like,
and that's
it's just
sad.
What it is. It is what it is.
That's sad. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you can go before me, Heather, if you want. But what I had was, you know, what do you think about the black celebs who have come out and say things about, particularly the riots and the looting, and you know, one quote we see in in on the social media happened to be Trina regarding calling us animals and so on and so forth. What do you have to say about that? What are your thoughts on people who have a platform, say whatever they need to say,
Keisha got that one.
Categorizing or saying, calling Black people animals?
Go ahead, Keisha.
I think that it's great. When you have a platform with millions of people, you have a platform where you're reaching people. It's good to talk about these things. It's good to talk about racism and racial injustice and stuff like that. But then you have to be careful and be responsible on what you say, because what you say is reaching a lot of people. So our Black celebrities have to educate themselves. Not because they're celebrities make them smart.
Right.
They have to educate themselves on what they're saying to the public and what they're putting out there. Because they have platforms. They have the power to influence and to reach a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So they have to be very careful. I think it's a good thing that they're talking, but they have to be careful. And when they're coming with what they're saying, they need to come with facts and not just feeling facts. Because one of the problems is that just a miscommunication of different things. Because as well, I don't think a lot of African-American people or celebrities know the history. So before you talk, just come with facts. And if you don't have anything nice to say or anything constructive to say, you just be silent. Maybe just donate to an organization, but not speak up, because words are so powerful.
Right.
No, for real, words are powerful, and you have to be careful. And then you have the people who run with what you have. You said no fact checking, nothing. They just run with it. And then that's the problem. You're perpetrating another thing again. Just that information being spread around the world.
Yeah. Because I think, what did Trina say? What did Trina say? She called the writers animals or something?
Yeah. She was specifically speaking to, let me correct, make sure I'm clear. She was specifically talking about how they were rioting and looting.
Okay.
Right? Again, I do not condone violence, looting, none of that. However, to Keisha's point, when you do have a large platform as you do, you have to be very mindful of the things that you say.
Right.
Because you have a large influence. And when you say things as, to me, I took that very personal.
Yes.
As to call, they're acting like animals. I've heard that narrative before coming from white people.
Yes.
Black people historically called us animals, treated us like animals, discarded us like animals. So when you read or rate that narrative, it's hurtful. And you have to be mindful of what you're saying, because then people, again, will run with it like it's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just say stuff like that.
Right.
Yes, I agree that the looters and the rioting, there's certain people out there that's not for the cause. They look at it as an opportunity to gain for self-indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But never as a Black person should you ever refer to another Black person as an animal.
Right. As an animal.
Right.
I know it's like, but it's you. Your reference is still referring to us as if we were animals. That should never come out of here. And yes, you are... You can make mistakes, but that's not a mistake.
Yeah, because isn't she like apologizing now or something?
I'm not about that.
I hear all of that, but the damage has been done.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you kill George, you can't say, oops. It's a mistake.
Right.
He's dead.
Right.
Some things that you say, you can't resurrect it. So, and my thing is that sometimes you don't need to say, you know, all the celebs come on and they feel like they have to say something. Sometimes you may not need to say anything. Just sit back, because that's what I find myself doing a lot. Sitting back, observing, learning, educating myself.
Right.
So I have, I actually have a perspective and an educated one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily need to say anything, just because you have a platform.
Right.
Sometimes you just be quiet. That's enough.
Yeah, and also, I don't think, celebrities, there's things that you can do behind the scenes, right? And I feel like what's been lost also in these conversations is that people feel like you coming out as a celebrity and saying something is just, is great. Is that's just it. No, I want you to say something and back it up. Start donating, supporting organizations that are fighting against racial injustice. So you really don't have to say anything, because I hear people were like, oh, so where's Oprah? Where's Gail? I don't hear them saying anything. But Oprah and Gail probably busy donating, or probably, I'm sure they're behind the scenes. So they don't always have to say something. You can be quiet, but yeah, still work on, from behind the scenes to create some form of change.
And I guess, that would be my last question, right? Like, everyone has their position in this fight. There's the rioters, there's the protesters, there's the people putting stuff out on social media. So like you said, Oprah, because I hear a lot of people talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce, you don't see them doing anything, so that means their money is gone. And it's like, still, us Black people are going against them because we don't see them doing something, but we don't know what they're doing.
What they're doing.
So, you know, like I said, everybody has their position in this fight. And I think with us leaving from here, what do you think is your position in the fight? I know I'm not a rioter, I'm not a protester, but what else do you think you could do to help out moving forward?
What I am going to do moving forward is be more intentional in supporting my Black community.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily easy, because convenience oftentimes overrides that. And when I say supporting my Black community, I mean purchase stuff from the Black community, stuff from the Black community, give my money into the Black community. Because I truly believe that if we do get to a point as a Black people where we are economically sound and have a huge economic background and foundation to stand on, I truly believe that we can cause change.
Right.
And that starts by making sure that the money stays within our community. And again, it's something I started years ago, but I have not been intentional in making sure that I do it. Because again, it's not always easy to find something in a Black community, right? Because oftentimes it's non-existent.
So make sure that I'm intentionally doing that, and just make sure that in general that I am more deliberate in how I develop myself as a Black person, and making sure that I support, not only do I support them in money, but make sure that fundamentally, as a Black woman, I support my fellow Black females. Because oftentimes I feel like, for some reason, Black women are not as supportive as each other. Even if it's, you know, given a sentiment of love or a sentiment of encouragement, or oftentimes just the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like just being intentional and making sure that I that's going to be my take and my effort, making sure that I support my family. And that does not mean that I don't support white people.
Exactly.
Right.
Because, that's another narrative.
Right.
That means that if I'm pro-supporting Black communities, pro-supporting Black businesses, that means that I don't support white people in this thing. Their commerce. No, that's not what you're saying. Means. It just means that I, as a person, will go out and support my fellow Black people. That's all. It doesn't mean that I'm anti-white.
Yeah.
Make that clear.
You, Keisha? What's
your... Well, I mean, I agree with Renee. Just being intentional in what we do going forward. Whether it's... For me, I know I already start looking up Black businesses in my area. I found a beauty salon that's owned by a Jamaican woman, which I think that's going to be where I'm spending my money going forward. Mm-hmm. Just be intentional. And what I do like, and what I'm seeing, especially on Instagram, is a lot of people have been sharing links for Black-owned businesses. Right. I think that's amazing. I think one of the problems that we didn't know before, that these businesses exist.
True.
Now we know. Now start putting our money where our mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one of the most important things is, like, I feel like where we could, as individuals, that we could, we can change, is that we need to really, I mean, it might sound cliche, but vote.
Mm-hmm.
Voting, and being intentional with your vote.
putting people in power and in positions, especially Black people, that will make change. Because I feel like if we're in the position, make change in the position where we have a say in what goes on in the community, I think that would be more effective. Having us in places that we can have change, or we have seen what goes on in our communities. I think that's important. So I will be supporting that. I'll be on the lookout for that. I mean, I always vote, but I definitely could be more intentional. Find out what are your plans, like, what are you going to be doing as a candidate for the community?
Right.
That's my intention. So I think that, you know, this has really changed the way how I look at things, where I spend my money, where I spend my time. And as Renee said, support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Support Black businesses. Support Black women. Support. Support, support, support.
Right. And one of my biggest things I'm going to continue doing once the world opens back up, I was doing a lot of volunteering in the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, sometimes you see a lot of stuff. So I'm going to go back to that, especially educating our youth, because you go into those neighborhoods that they don't see a lot. They don't probably don't watch a lot of TV. There's not a lot of people educating them, because that's the white teachers that they have are not teaching them African-American history. So I'm going to go back and start going into the after hours. There's schools that you can volunteer after hours for Black communities. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to start that again, because now, especially now, I realize our youth, they need it. They need to see Black people like us being in front of them and teaching them and really caring about them. You had any last questions, Keisha?
I think I'm good with all the questions I have. Thank you all for joining us at I Got You Podcast. You can find us on different platforms at I Got You Podcast. And check us out on IG and Spotify and some of the other platforms. And we have some great topics for you. And thanks for joining us.